The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas of the A.
The A is a Seder which is full of mitzvahs. According to the calculation of the Sefer Chinuch, there are a total of 55 mitzvahs in this parsha. 17 positive commandments and 38 leisas as negative commandments. Amongst the mitzvahs, there are ibur avedas zara misham sheho, that we are obligated to destroy all idolatry in Eretz Yisrael and anything that relates to it. Shleila heisiv v'ligrei al mitzvahs. We're not allowed to change the character and the exactness of any mitzvah. Not only by taking away from the mitzvah, but we're not allowed to add to the mitzvah either. We might think, all right, we cannot shortchange a mitzvah, but what's the matter with adding? That's the same thing. We are not allowed to change the character and the exactness of any mitzvah. If the Torah tells us to put tzitzis on four corners, so then three corners is not right and five corners is not right. If the Torah tells us to put one mezuzah on a door, then two mezuzahs is like no mezuzahs, and so forth. We have in this parsha all of the dinim, all the laws related to the Novi Sheker, to the false prophet. If a man comes and he says he had a dream, or he had a vision, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, appeared to him and said that this is what we should do. And what he tells us is against, contrary to the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. Even if he brings and wonders and miracles, all types of mevsim v'niflos, he shows supernatural signs, we're not allowed to follow him. And not only that, but we are commanded to put him to death. We have the dinim of the mesis. That is a person who comes and entices one of his family or one of his friends to go and worship some foreign type of worship, some avodah zarah. Also, he is to be put to death. We have the dinim of ira nidachas. If in a city, the entire city goes and worships idolatries, then the Torah tells us in great detail, and in each of these mitzvahs that I'm mentioning, there are many mitzvahs in the parsha relating to each subject. But then in great detail what we're supposed to do with that city. We're supposed to destroy the city, if it's a city in Eretz Yisrael, burn everything that's in it, and so forth. There's a mitzvah of Leitis Gedidu B'Bsarchem, that we are not allowed to mutilate our flesh, even if it's for the purpose to show our great anguish over a tragedy, over a death which occurred, or to simu korcho, or we're not allowed to make ourselves bald, cut off, shave off all of our hair, or in such a fashion, in a particular fashion, because these types of exercises and customs were done by the idolaters. Now, in these groupings of mitzvahs, these are not all of the mitzvahs, these are some of the mitzvahs. In the groupings of mitzvahs that we have mentioned, at Sar HaShovei Shebeneihen, there's a common aspect, a common denominator amongst them all, and that is that all of these mitzvahs that are mentioned relate to Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is what would be popularly translated as idolatry. When people hear of idolatry, so immediately they think of the pagan customs of thousands of years ago, when we had people who were uneducated, not enlightened, and they went and they worshipped idols. And therefore also they think, an immediate reaction, that this is something of the ancient past. This is a type of study that museums would conduct, and it's not very relevant
to our day.
Now, actually, this interpretation of idolatry, of Aveda Zora, that it means idolatry, is not 100% correct. Aveda Zora means a type of worship which is alien and foreign and strange to you. It means a type of worship that deviates from the way we were commanded to worship the Almighty, to the right or to the left, which deviates from the type of worship that we were commanded through Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and through the prophecy of Moshe in his Torah, and through the Meseiros, through the tradition which has been handed down to us from generation to generation. Does not necessarily mean to bow to an idol, although that would also be included. But any type of worship, any type of serving, some type of force, any force in the world, and in a way that deviates from which we were commanded through Teres Meshe Rabbeinu. So, accordingly, it has a much broader interpretation. And this is explicit in the Gemara and explicit in the Rambam. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Aveda Zora at the end of Perek Aleph, after he gives an elaborate introduction.
So he concludes his introduction by saying, "Umi'avas Hashem Eisonu." Because of the great love that the Almighty had for us, and because of the pledge and the oath which he gave to Abraham, also Moshe Rabbeinu Rabin Shel Kol HaNevi'im,
he made Moshe Rabbeinu to be the Rabbon, the greatest of all of the prophecies, and he sent him. He sent him to come to Sinai and to receive the Torah and to give Torah to Klal Yisrael. Once Moshe prophesied, and of course Baruch Hu chose in Israel that they will be his nation, he crowned them with mitzvahs, and he taught Israel the way to serve him. And what will be all of the laws relating to foreign ways of worship, other ways of worship? What are their laws and what are their statutes?
Then the Rambam in Perek Sheni, in the second Perek,
states as follows: Ikar atzivui ba'avedis kechovim. The main commandment when it comes to avedis kechovim, the serving of idolatry, shelo la'aved echod mikol habruim. That we are not allowed to worship not any of all of the creations. Le Malach, not an angel. A person worships an angel. This is idolatry. This is Aveda Zora. If he worships Shadim, devils, or other such supernatural forces, this is Aveda Zora, even though there are no idols there. V'loi galgal, v'loi kechev. He's not allowed to worship any of the celestial beings, stars, planets. Le'echud mi'arba ha'yisodis, or any of the four main elements that the world is made up from, which would be the earth, fire, water, or air. V'le'echod mikol ha'nivroim mehem. And not anything which is created from any of them. So this includes everything in the world. This includes serving, worshipping another man, worshipping another force, worshipping a natural force or a supernatural force. This is all what is termed as Avodah Zorah.
Well, the Rambam goes even further. Maybe that's if a person completely withdraws his belief from the Almighty and places all his belief in one of these powers. No. Even if the one who is serving, he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king of the world. And he only serves any of these particular beings or creations or forces only as the generation of Enosh did, where they believed in the Almighty, but they felt that we must give honor to his great creations. So they served him. He says that's also Avodah Zorah. Hareza Evid Kechovim.
So we see that it has a very broad aspect, very broad interpretation. And it is something that's relevant to all times,
and to our time also.
Now,
we must understand that there is what is known as the Avodah Zorah.
We'll call him the idolater. And then there is also what is known as the Apikoros.
This the Gemara refers to as the Apikoros, or the Minus, or Kefir. One is as bad as the other. In certain ways, one is worse than the other. In some ways, the second one is worse than the first. But they're different. The idolater is the one who worships. He worships some supreme being. But that supreme being is not the Almighty, and it's not in the way that we were commanded to serve the Almighty. The mean,
the kefir, the apikoros,
this is someone who worships no one. He denies the existence of the Almighty, or he denies various facets of his commands. Gemara brings a posuk on this, a posuk from Tehillim. Tehillim Yudalit. Omar novel beliboy ein elokim. The novel says in his heart, ein elokim, there is no God. They're very close together, because in both cases the person is not granting total power and authority or directing all of his worship to the Almighty for one reason or the other. They're very close together, but there are differences. The Rambam brings an expression where he says many times we can take on that the one who claims he denies, he's an idolater. He claims he denies, he claims and believes in no one, he's an idolater though. So this is an important fact that we should know. Now, it's obvious that Kol HaTorah Kula, the entire Torah, relies on this deen. Because if someone believes in the Almighty, then he can believe in all of his mitzvahs. If someone denies the Almighty and believes in other powers, then all of the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu become irrelevant. And this is why the first mitzvah we received was Anechi Hashem Elokecha, beginning with the Aleph, that I am the Lord your God, I and no one else. And the second, the first command of the Ten Commandments, and the second command was Lo yelecha elohim acherim, that you shall not create gods, other gods, gods of others. And the Gemara brings in Horius, the Torah is very, very severe when it comes to these laws. Very severe. They carry the most serious punishments in the Torah. And the Torah takes a tremendously hard line. And the Gemara in Horius Davches states, the Rambam brings here in Perek Beis Halacha Dalet, mitzvahs avedis kechovim kineged ha-mitzvahs kulon. when it comes to idolatry, this equals all of the other Avedis in the Torah. So Avedis Chovim, Holomaratu, Shekolamedib, Avedis Chovim, Kefir, Becholatera Kula. Whoever subjects himself to any form of idolatry, he is denying the entire Torah. And all of the prophecies that we were given from the first man until the end of the world. And whoever denies idolatry, so then he is accepting the entire Torah and all the prophecies that were given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the entire world. And we have later in our Sedra, Rashi brings Pasuk Yud Ches, Dvorim Yud Gimel Pasuk Yud Ches, Bela Yidbak Biyotcha Ma'uma Min Acherim, when you destroy idolatry, nothing. This is speaking here about the Iran Irachas, the city which you destroy. Nothing shall remain in your hands. Laman Yoshev Hashem Mecharein Apoi. In order that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return his wrath from you. V'nosan Lecho Rachamim. And he should give compassion. V'richamcho V'yebecho. And he will give compassion to you and he will multiply you. Like he swore to your fathers. So Rashi brings, calls Man Shaved Zorah Ba'olam Charein Apoilam. That we see that as long as there are idolatrous practices in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger is in the world. And that's why he says, destroy it completely, in order that I can return from my wrath and give compassion to you. Because as long as there are idolatrous practices in the world, then there is karein af, the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of this tremendous importance, we say every day, twice every day, the Gemara brings this in Masechta Brachos. And Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, we quoted it in a shir not long ago, that we say, it might have been in a Shabbos shir, in the third parsha of Krishma, the parsha which deals with tzitzis, twice a day we say it, and the Gemara asks why. So the Gemara gives various reasons. So one reason the Gemara gives is because there we are commanded on not we are commanded against kfira apikorsis, and we're commanded against avodah zarah, as it states you shall not go after your eyes or your hearts. Levavchem, the Gemara says, zuminus. In your heart, you shall not listen to your heart to say, Ein Elokim, there is no God. Omar Novel Belibay, Ein Elokim. Or to deny any of his mitzvahs. That's what it means, Leishasur Achrei Levavachem. Asher Atem Zoni Machareihem. The word Zoni means that you are drawn after. So the Gemara says, Zu Aveid Zorah. This teaches us idolatry. You shall not listen to your heart to deny any of the mitzvahs of the Torah of Hashem, and you shall not be drawn after idolatries, the foreign practices of the other nations. Wherever it states Zonim, the Gemara says, that means idolatry, as it states Vayiznu Achar Baal, that they went after Baalim, they went after the idols of the other nations. The Gemara also brings that a mumer la vedizora is mumer lechalat edekula. That a person who is drawn after idolatry, then he does not have a law of Israel. Legally, he loses his classification as a Jew. Hareze ke'akum. And he's excluded from the community. This is a Gemara, a long discussion in the Gemara in Masechta Chulin. So this gives us an idea of how serious this avodah is. Chazal tell us, we're all aware that man was given a Yetzer Hara. He's given a force within him that challenges him and drives him to evil. What we're not all aware of, the sages teach us that actually he was given two Yetzer Haras. One Yetzer Hara was placed in his goof, in his body, and the other Yetzer Hara was placed in his nefesh. The Yetzer Hara that was placed in his body, that drives him to everything physical and material. And that the sages refer to as Yitzra de Erva. It drives him to physical passions and lusts, to acts of immoralities. It drives him to physical desires, chemnas moman, material desires, everything that has to do with physical man. And then he was given the Yetzer Hara in his nefesh. Now the nefesh is not physical man. The nefesh already deals with emotional man and the intellectual man, mental man. Now just like a person has drives to physical evils, he also has drives to emotional evils and mental evils. But that doesn't come from the same Yetzer Hara. That comes from the Yetzer Hara, the power, the force that was placed in his nefesh, and that the Chazal referred to as Yitzra Da'avedah Zorah. That's the Yetzer Hara that drives a person to evils. It drives him away from the Almighty, but not because of material desires or physical desires. It drives him to something which is non-material, non-physical. Emotional evils, intellectual evils. And the prime of this is these types of idolatry. Different philosophies, different ideologies, different ways of serving other creations. There's a Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Amud Beis. But the Gemara says that if a person wants to control his Yetzer Hara, what should he do? He should throw himself into the study of Torah. So it uses this expression. Tana de Beliyahu, La'elam yosim odem atzmei al divreteire, kishor le'ol ukechamor le'masoi. A person should throw himself into divreteire, like a shor, like a bull, an ox, puts his shoulder to the yoke, and like a donkey that puts his shoulder to the pack, to the burden. This is the Maral in his Sefer Nesiv Salem and Nesiv HaYetzer, Perek Aleph. He asks, why does the Gemara have to say both cases for? He should put his shoulder into Torah, like the ox puts his shoulder to the yoke, and like the donkey puts his back to the burden. Why both cases? Because it's referring to both of these Yetzer Haras. The donkey, we know, has the strongest body. Hamal Goram. What it refers that the donkey is the strongest body. That's why you can put tremendous weights upon the donkey, and you can carry it. And that's why also he's called the Chamor. Chamor comes from the Loshon Chomer, from the word Chomer. Chomer means physical material, physical matter. It's made up of the strongest physical matter of any animal. The ox, the bull, does not have such a strong body. He's not a pack animal. You can't load tremendous weights upon him. He's not a pack animal. But he's the most powerful of the domesticated animals. That's why when it comes to pulling, if you have to pull, you have to pull tree stumps off the farmland. You have to clear the farmland from tree stumps and from rocks. Or you have to pull carts up mountains. So the oxen were used. Now that power, that's not the goof anymore. That's the keah, that's the strength. That's an inner power. A donkey was not used to pull. He was used to carry. And the ox was not used to carry. He was used to pull. So he has the strongest inner strength. That represents the nefesh. So the Gemara is telling us that you have to subject yourself to Torah in both dimensions if you want to free yourself from the Yetzer Hara. You must subject yourself to Torah like the donkey subjects himself to the pack. Then you'll free yourself from the Yetzer Hara in the goof, the physical and material Yetzer Hara, Yitzra De'erva. And you have to subject yourself to Torah like the ox to the yoke, and then you'll free yourself from the Yitzra De'erva, from the non-material, non-physical Yetzer Hara desires. So here we have this illustration of this. Now, in today's world, many times at first glance we'll think, well, like we mentioned before, that idolatry is something of the past. Without going into much discussion, this is not true. The fact is, if a person will make just a small analysis, he'll see that Klal Yisrael, the nation of Israel, is the Am Skula, is the exceptional nation of the world. It's like an island which is surrounded totally by non-believers. We have, for example, Russia. Governmental policy of the entire nation of Russia, which is one of the vastest nations in the world, is that of an atheistic policy. All right, we can maybe discuss whether that would be classified as Avodah Zarah or as Minus as Kfira. Whether that's an idolatrous belief or whether it's an atheistic belief. But one of the two for sure is. If we move to China and to India, now the numbers of those people goes into the hundreds and hundreds of millions, if not more. Well, these are all idolatrous nations. With no discussion. If you go to Black Africa, these are all idolatrous nations. There's Islam. Arab nations. So we would say that is all that's left then is the West. Now first of all, the West is the minority of the world. It's not the majority of the world. But even in the West, which is so-called enlightened, the major religion of the West is also very closely related to what the Torah would consider idolatrous practices, in accordance to what we said. So you would have to look far and wide, not like people think, that this is something of the past and it doesn't exist today, but just to the contrary, you would have to look far and wide to find nations that do not fall into this classification. There might be some. There might be some nations of the West which are very to the left when it comes to the major religions of the West. Maybe they would not fall into this classification. But we'd have to look for it. So it's just contrary to popular belief that this is something of the past. This is more relevant than ever. Now that's if you take the situation as it's been for the past few hundred years. The fact is, I mean, this is a situation that could exist for maybe a few thousand years. But also we must realize another very important point. About 100 years ago, a big change took over the world. And that was when many peoples of the old world, who lived tremendously impoverished and had very little, were given opportunity to self-improve their situations in Europe, and in particularly in what was called the New World at that time. And at that time, we started to hear such phrases as the land of opportunity, the New World, the Golden Medina, the industrial boom, the scientific era, the technical era, materialistic society. People that had nothing were given the opportunity now to make something for themselves, to make something for their children. And it became a tremendous preoccupation and a tremendous drive for material gain. Now, we're not going into the discussion whether this is good or not good. We're just observing the scene. And as time went on, people became so preoccupied with this that there was a drop, there was a great minimization in other interests. And anything of a non-material, non-physical entity faded into the background. And at that time, religion became very unpopular. The most popular forces in the world was the scientist, the industrialist, the doctor, the businessman, the professional, and people were building financial and material empires. And came from here the phrase, the materialistic society. So anything non-material faded into the background, and with that went religion, with that went philosophy, with that even went the pursuit of wisdom. The pursuit of wisdom and culture also dropped to the background tremendously in proportion to previous generations. People were not interested. They were preoccupied in other pursuits. Now, actually, what was happening is we saw there an Isgabrus, a great growth of the Yitzro de Erva, a great growth of the Yetzohora, of the physical man, and at the same time, a great minimization of the Yitzro de Aved Zora, of the force of the emotional or intellectual man. People lost their interest in it. And everything became the materialistic society. About 25 years ago, a change took place. And this change became recognized by various sociologists, by various educators. And the fact is, there was once about 20 years ago, approximately, there was a cover story on this in Time magazine. It became a shift. Amongst the youth, second and third generation of these immigrants that had come to the New World, or these people that were bettering themselves in the old world, the second and third generation were born into it. They no longer remembered days when they were hungry and days when they didn't have an opportunity to become professionals or to educate themselves. They no longer remembered when they could live in nice neighborhoods, when they didn't live in nice neighborhoods. They were born into such a society. So soon they took it all for granted. And they didn't chase after it so much. It wasn't necessary to chase after so much. It was at the doorstep. They were given anything, everything and anything that money could buy. It was the affluent society. This was in the 50s and the 60s. At the same time, in the old days, we're going back to the early 1900s, middle 1900s, many people felt that if they would better themselves and improve their material status, this would resolve many of their problems. In the 50s and in the 60s and the 70s, the generations found out that no problems were resolved with this. All of the problems which existed before when they were hungry existed now also, even though they were full. All the problems that existed before when they were poor exist now also, even though they're wealthy. And not only that, but many times the wealth has even compounded the problems. There were still problems of war, there were still social problems, and domestic problems, and marital problems, and sickness, and so forth and so on. The fact is, new diseases developed. Before there were diseases from lack of what one should have, now new diseases were developing from a lifestyle that came from excess. So there were many disappointments in the world. And we saw a shift. We saw where all of a sudden, and nobody could have predicted it. I mean, people were aghast. At first they looked at all of these people like total Mishigoyim, people that were totally out of their minds, and they thought it was just a crazy fad and it would be finished. We saw where people started to reject material wealth. They started to reject material possessions. And they started to go in different directions. One of the first movements at that time was the hippie movement. That here their fathers and grandfathers were giving their entire life so they could dress up in a decent suit. And now they gave their children decent clothing, and what did they do? They threw it all out. And they went out in rags. And on the campuses yet. And the shift started to take place. Since then, one fad and one movement has been replaced by another. There's been tremendous... The situation has been very fluid. But in the overall picture, there are huge majorities, huge numbers of people today that are not blindly possessed and preoccupied by chasing a material society. But that they are turning, and they have turned in other directions. For example, in the last 20 years, we've seen where religion has become popular. Now, this was something that 50, 60 years ago, nobody would have believed. We see ideologies are developing. Philosophies. We see pursuits of things which are not necessarily physical, but emotional, intellectual.
We're hearing words in the last 20 years and today that the world hadn't heard in hundreds of years. For example, holy war.
That term was not heard
since perhaps the time of the Crusades.
And this is a word that the Arabs used.
And this is a word that's being used today in Iran, in Iraq.
Holy war.
The fact is today, the greatest force of Iran is based on a religious belief. Eastern philosophies. Eastern religions is a word that I never heard of when I was in high school. Somebody wanted to specialize in that because he was going to teach in some remote chamber of a university. All right. Otherwise, you never heard of it. Eastern philosophies.
Eastern religions. Yoga, meditation. These are common words today. And today, it's not what it was 25, 30 years ago where a few became interested. It's much more than we might be aware of. Why Eastern religions? Because the East for many, many years was not caught up in the materialistic pursuit of the West. That was the Western culture, not the Eastern culture. The East always placed an emphasis on non-material pursuit also. But today there are words such as superstitions, supernatural, witchcraft, black magic, devil worship, cults, satanic cults, Moonies, Scientology, newborn, I won't say the word, Jews for it, and so on and so on. And this is not just a movement in a corner. The proof of it is, it's become one of the most lucrative markets in the world today. Billions and billions of dollars of turnover are going into this market. The fact is that in America, there's tremendous wars going between some of these most powerful movements, one fighting against the other for control of the market. Well, it's estimated that they take in money in the billions. And it's become worldwide. Here in South Africa, we've been informed that there are literally dozens and dozens of groups that are putting out material which costs literally hundreds of thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of rands in order to entice customers into these various clubs. So you see, the market is there. If the market is there, it means the interest is there. And no longer are we speaking of just some little mishigas that's going on the side. And Time magazine wrote about 20 years ago where they predicted then that they could see the decline of the all-powerful doctor and scientist. The material society of the West, where they worshipped the industrious or they worshipped the scientist, because the scientist, he is the one who understands the physical nature. He is the professor of physical nature. And he was the one who was worshipped. He was on the top of the ladder. They said that we see the downfall of that. And it's starting to change. But the people are starting to think more of the supernatural than of the natural. Of the concealed than of the obvious. And this I can tell you, that when I was in school, this was impossible. It was impossible. Nobody was interested in religion, and nobody was interested in supernatural, and nobody was interested in superstitions, in none of these things. They were interested in the atomic bomb. This is what they were interested in. And everything that related to it. So what do we see from this? We see that the pendulum is swinging, and there's a shift now from the Yitzro, the Ervo, to the Yitzro David Zora. That the cards are changing. And no longer is the prime in the world at large, not by everyone, but in a great segment of the world. Fact is, the top military experts fear, they have a tremendous fear of a holy war, which was something that was impossible to think about before. Because today, millions of people might be motivated by religious reasons and even go to war for it. So we see where no longer does the Yitzhak the Erva have such a prime force on the person, driving him to everything which is physical and material, but the Yitzhak the Avodah Zorah, where also now coming into the picture is the force in man which is driving him to non-material evils, non-physical evils. And this is the picture that we're seeing in the world today. The fact is, it could be, I'm not sure, but it could be that many of the great evils of the time that we've been experiencing in the past 25 years, which have been a different type of evil that the world was used to for a long time, many of these might be from the Yitzhak Davei Disorder, from this Yitzhak Horror, not from the Yitzhak the Erva. For example, drugs. There's a drug problem today, a worldwide drug problem. This didn't exist in this dimension 25, 35, 40 years ago. Is it a physical desire that drives a person to drugs? Might not be. He's not interested in the physical. He's interested, they're looking for... This could be driving them to drugs. Or you take, for example, homosexuality. Might not be the Yitzhak the Erva. It might be this Yitzhak the Avodah Zorah, this Yitzhak Hora, which drives a person already an emotional or an intellectual enticement. Or you take all of the deviations of the time. There's many strange things that are going on today, many unnatural things that are going on today. Or, for example, which is very prevalent, and this was not prevalent 50 years ago, there's a tremendous number of civil murders that take place not for gain. In the old days, it was common. If someone wanted to steal something, he would murder someone. But today there's a tremendous amount of number of murders that take place, but not necessarily for material gain. It would seem that for the purpose of the bloodshed itself. This is a different dimension. We find one can lead into the other. The fact is, it's written by the Greeks, the ancient nations, that together with their idolatries, they would have great orgies, that one would lead into the other. Or the Gemara tells us, by the Egel Azov, the golden calf, from the golden calf of idolatry, it led to Shvichas Domim, to murder, and it led also to Gila Arayis, to acts of immorality. But the driving force there was this Avodah Zorah. Is driving this person to these things. Now when it comes to the discussion of foreign ideologies, meditations, Eastern ideologies and philosophies and religions and cults and so forth, there's a few principles that a Jew should know that are brought in our Sedra. Because one of the great enticements is because people feel that there's something there to be offered. They have something good to offer. They know something we don't know, And somehow we can better our lives through that. Rashi brings, the Torah states, and Rashi brings here, in Posuk, Ches, in Posuk Ches, Dvorim Yud Gimel, Melekeo Ami, Mashesvi, Vesechem, Akrevi, Melecho, Arecheikim, Mimekom, Ikseoritz, Vakseoritz.
You shall not worship the gods of other nations, which are near you, or which are far away. Why does it say which are near you or which are far away?
So Rashi says, because people always have the nature to say that what's far away, that's good.
You should know that just like those that are close to you have nothing to offer, those that are far away also have nothing to offer. Don't go to the far east to think that they have something to offer
that the Torah doesn't offer. Just like those who are near you have nothing to offer
of the Torah, so the Torah tells us
those that are far away also have nothing to offer. That's one point. Another point that's brought is in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Yud Beis Lamed Aleph, the Torah tells us, Leisase kein l'Hashem Elokecho, ki chol te'avas Hashem asher sonei osu le'lehihem.
Do not turn away from the Almighty and go after these other beliefs,
these other cults. Because all of the abominations which the Almighty hates, they do. They will even take their own sons and daughters and burn them on their fires of their sacrifices. Do not think that there is something of great quality in what they have to offer. Because all of the abominations, all of the te'eva, which the Torah forbids you, they do. It's full of incest. It's full of adultery. It's full of bloodshed. And it's full of everything else. And the Rashi brings here from the Gemara that Rabbi Kiva said, Omar Rabbi Kiva, Ani ro'isi nochri shekofte le'oviv livnei kalbei bochole. I saw it.
I saw in an act of
idolatry, one goy tie up his father before wild dogs that the dog should eat him.
He says, I saw with my own eyes.
And this was that acts of religion.
If you'll study the what goes on in those nations, in Japan, or in China, or in India,
or in Black Africa, and you'll see how they live themselves,
you'll find that they have very little to offer.
Where the Shvi Hasdomim, the murder,
and other such abominations
is a common day accepted practice. We don't have time to go into detail. Then the Torah tells us something else. In Posuk, Zion. The Torah says you shall not go and serve other gods. Asher lo yodato ato ve'avesecho. Gods that you don't know and your fathers don't know. So Rashi says, Dovazeh genai godol hu loch. Sha'afa umes ein menichin mashe mosu lem avesehem v'zeh emale azeh mashe mosu loch avesecho. He says, this is a great disgrace to us. Even the nations of the world do not leave the traditions of their fathers. Japanese, for thousands of years, follow the traditions of their fathers. Same with the Chinese.
Same with the Indians.
Same with Black Africa. Yet we, when someone says, go, I have something to introduce you to, something new, that your father never served, we're ready to go.
He says, Dovazeh genai godel, this is a great disgrace to us.
Even the nations of the world do not leave what their fathers gave them. This tells you, go away from what your father taught you and go to something new.
Now there's another very important point that we must be aware of. If this influence is gaining momentum in the world today, and if this influence is prevalent, we must be aware that this is not something that affects only the Finch, only people who are far away from Torah. It is true that, heaven forbid, if people are lost to these movements and they're lost to these cults, from our nation, generally it's those who are very far from Torah. But we must realize that this affects everything. The late Chaim Berlin Rosh Yeshiva Rav Huttner writes in a place that at the time of the golden calf, when a tremendous tumor and tremendous impurity came into the world, he proves that it affected even Shevet Levi. This tremendous impurity that came in affected even the camp of Levi. Even though Levi stood up and were willing to give their lives to side with Moshe Rabbeinu to kill all of the idolaters. Why? Because when influence comes into the world, it seeps into everything. My Rebbe, the Tel Aviv Rosh Yeshiva Rav Gifter, many, many years ago yet, said that he saw how the hippie movement in America influenced yeshivas. Influenced yeshivas. Because the hippie movement of America was based on what ideal? It was based on a principle to throw off the traditional yoke of authority. Whatever the parents did, we'll do the opposite. Whatever the university professors tell us, we'll do the opposite. Whatever society does, we'll do the opposite. See, one said the reason why there was a breakdown in comparison to previous generations of discipline to authority in yeshivas, he says it was because of the hippie movement in the world. Don't think these movements can be in the world and not influence everyone in the world. They influence Klal Yisrael, and they influence all of Klal Yisrael, and they even influence the Torah camps of Klal Yisrael. Just as the materialistic society influenced all of Klal Yisrael, this society also does. The fact is, the Gifted One said even something else, and that was from the Chofetz Chaim, Zichron Livracha. The Chofetz Chaim used to say, not necessarily what goes on in the world influences Yisrael, but what goes on in Israel influences the world. And because there's breakdowns of certain principles in Klal Israel that can create such breakdowns of principles in the world. And he said that it was possible that these movements were the chain reaction of what took place first in Torah circles. So this we must be very aware of. Now, unfortunately, in Torah circles alone, today we hear of things which were not heard of before. Many, many things that are common today in Torah circles, something I never heard of when I was in yeshiva.
And there's no doubt it comes from these influences. For example, there's emphasis today. Today many times you'll hear about an emphasis on interpretations of dreams, of prophecies, emphasis on mystics. In some areas, it goes so far as where even you have fortune tellings, palm readings, types of skulas, charms. People will tell you there's certain individuals that were given a special keach habrocha, a special power of brocha. Go get a brocha from him. I'm not talking about a chochem. A person who's a chochem, the Torah says, go to a chochem and receive a brocha. But there's certain people that were given a power of brocha. It worked. I've seen it work. Instant cures. Go to this person and you'll be cured immediately. Instant resolutions for problems. You got problems? Go to this person. He'll tell you what to do and it'll be cured. It'll be resolved. Got parnosa problems? Go. He'll tell you what to do and it'll change. Now these are things in all my experience that I had with great gedalim, I never heard of. Never heard of. And today they're becoming very prevalent. The fact is, in my experience with great gedalim, I've heard already for the last 25 years gedalim expressing their fear against such things. And this has nothing to do with Hasidim or Misnagdim. Don't mix that up. There are very, very large Hasidic movements, many Hasidic movements in the world. See? And I've heard 25 years ago from some of the great Hasidic leaders, I heard the same sounds of alarm. The same sounds of alarm. That things are creeping into Klal Yisrael and into Torah, which never existed before. And it's coming from idolatrous sources. Fact is, I heard the tells of the Rosh Yeshiva, this was in the early 1950s. You can always tell a great person where he sees something 25 years before the rest of the world, before it comes. Where he spoke about such things and he called it Aveda Zora. Called it idolatry. That's its source. It's impossible that all of this should fester and all of this should develop in the world and not also seep into the camp of Levi. Like Lefutner wrote. And therefore we must be very much on our guard against it. Ein lonu elateidus meishan abeinu v'vad. Torah says a man comes to you and he does an aphis, he does a wonder, he does a miracle. So what? So what does that have to do with it? That's Torah's Mesha. We have the Torah that Mesha Rabbeinu gave us. We have our mitzvahs. We're directed what to do and what not to do. And we're also directed that we shall not go in the ways of the nations of the world. Tragically, in the same vein, there are many, many people that look at Torah as another cult, except that's the Jewish cult. There's Eastern religion, and there's meditations, and there's yoga. And there's this philosophy, and this cult, and then there's the Torah cult. This is our cult. Cholila v'cholila, heaven forbid. And let me just quote. This is a long discussion. We don't have time to go into it at length. We've spoken about these things in the past. But let me just quote one or two sources from the Chazal and the Maral Miprag in regards to this. He says certain people look at mitzvahs as if it's going to cure you, like other idolatries. See, like other idolatries. And like other superstitions.
He brings a Gemara. The Gemara says, it's a Medrash, in Medrash Rabbe Perek Yutes. He brings this in Tferesh Yisrael Perekhes. Shol Goyechor is Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai.
A non-Jew once came to Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai was the great leader of Yerushalayim during the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. He says, Ilon Uvdid Osen Avdi Nirim Kamin Kshofim. He says, this that you do, what you do, he says, with respect, he says, it looks like witchcraft. And I know Jews are not allowed to do witchcraft. Atem Evim Torah. You'd bring a red heifer, sorfin esay, you burn it, keichin esay, you grind it up, neitlin esafora, you take its ashes, echad mikem metam lemeis, and if one of you have become impure by contact with a dead person, mazin alav shnayim u'shleishet tipi, you mix it with water, then you spray it on the person two or three times, and then you say to the person, you're pure. He says, what you're doing is looking very strange. It looks like what we do, witchcraft. What is it? So he said, Omalai, he says, Nichnas boch ruach hazosish me'mecho. Did you ever see among your people that a strange spirit should get a hold of a person? Like a dibbik, see? A strange spirit should get a hold of a person? So he said, yes. She says, Omalei leiro iso orim shenix meruchas ein Omalei umatem eisin. She says, what do you do in such a case? He says, well, we have certain herbs and roots, and we take them and we burn them, and then we mix it with water, and if we do this near the person, so then that spirit will run away from the person. So Rabbi Yechman Zakkai said, Yishmo az nechom ashatem eitzim eticho. He says, well, let your ears listen to what your mouth is saying. This is exactly what we're doing. So the person stopped to think, and he said, all right. And he went away. After he went away, the disciples to Rabbi Yechman Zakkai came, and he said, Omru le talmido, v'zeh dochiso bekono, lo namate ina. He says, that heathen, you can tell him a Baba Maisa. You can get away by telling him a story like that. But what are you going to tell us?
So he answered, Oma lehem chayichem. He says, I swear to you, lehameis metame velehamayi metarim.
The dead person does not cause tuma impurity, and the water does not cause purity.
Elo omar akorish borchuhu chuka chokakti gzeiru gozalti. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, these are my laws. These are my decrees. Iatorishai laver gzeirosai. You're not allowed to transgress my decrees.
What was the discussion? The mitzvahs that we do. Is it a cure-all at a physical level? Or even at a slightly higher than physical level, like black magic, like satanic cults, like all of these other things? Or is it something that does not work at the physical plane and does not work at the superstitious plane, but it's something that has its source in the creator of the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the deepest wisdom in the world, far beyond human comprehension? We have to study an entire life to try to comprehend it, but we'll never comprehend its fullness. This is what Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai told his Talmidim. Don't think that the Torah said, don't eat this because it's going to harm you physically, or don't eat this because it's not going to, the result will not be good. Don't take Torah and make a sefer refuah from it, make a book of cures of it, or a sefer segula, a book of charms. But it's the Chochmas Hashem, the wisdom of the Almighty. He Chochmaschem Ubinaschem Bein Hagoyim. It is the, this is our wisdom and understanding amongst the nations. Am Godel Venolein is there a great nation like Klal Yisrael that has so much wisdom. And in support to this, he brings from the Teiris Kahanim in Kedeshim Leyemar Odom Yefshi Bebsar Chazir Yefshi Bedvar Pleiri. A person is not allowed to say that I won't eat chazir because I can't stand it. See? Or I won't eat crabs, or I won't eat lizards, or let's say crabs, or I won't eat other impure meat because I can't stand it. No, a person is not allowed to say that. Elefshi, a person must say that I would love to eat such a thing. But what can I do? The Almighty has forbade me to do it. There's another illustration of this. The Gemara brings in Masechta Seita. The Gemara says that a person who's non-learned is very unfortunate. Because unlike all other religions, Torah is built on wisdom, it's built on learning. And it says someone who's not learned is very, very far from Torah. The fact is, it says, Le'amor es kosi, that if a person is ignorant, he can never be righteous. So then it says, Le'korav, what happens if he's korav v'shorav le'shimish tamid ha'chomim? What happens if he learns? He learns Mishnah, he learns Chumash, he learns Mishnah, but he doesn't, but he never learned by the Chachomim, which means he never learned Gemara. This means as follows. He's learned, but he doesn't understand what he learns. He doesn't realize the reasons of all of the laws. What is he? So the Gemara comes along, this is brought in the Siva Teira Perek Desbob. So the Gemara comes along and one says, this is what is known as an Amoritz. Another one says, this is what is known as a bur. A bur means someone who's empty. Another one says, this is known as a kusi. The kusim were a sect of people that kept many mitzvahs of Torah. And many mitzvahs which they kept, the Gemara says they kept it better than even Jews kept it. But they were kafirim. They denied Teiris Meisha. They only kept certain mitzvahs in accordance to what they saw. But they never understood anything. So he says, this is a kusi. Rav Acher by Yaakov says this is an amagushi. What is an amagushi? Amagushi is a man or a woman who practices witchcraft, who practices superstitions and witchcraft. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that he's an amagushi. That's the best interpretation. Why? Because people that practice witchcrafts and superstitions, they say terms, they utter sounds, and they don't know what they mean. In other words, we always have the black magic, you say your abacadabra or whatever it might be, you utter sounds, but they have no idea of what it means or what it's doing. That's the same thing with this person. Tony Tana, the Loyoda Matoni, he says words, he does practices, and he has no idea of what they mean. So Rav says, why? He says, because Torah is the furthest thing from practices of idolatry or cults or superstitions than it could be. Because superstitions and witchcrafts is not based on wisdom. The proof that is not based on wisdom, then nobody really knows what they're doing. Rambam says that the huge majority are phonies, they're fakes. But even if they're not, nobody knows what they're doing and nobody understands it. They just know that if I'll do such a thing, there'll be such a thing. For example, a bird. Gemara says a bird sings on this side, that means I'll have success in business. What does one thing have to do with the other? A cat crosses your path, it's not good muzzle. What's one thing have to do with the other? Mora brings many such cases. It says you're not allowed to practice it because these were the practices of the Goy. Right? And this was known as old wives' tales. Now, why were they called old wives' tales? Because there was no sense in it. Now, the basis, he says, the basis, this is important, the basis of all charms, schoolers, put this in the house, and there'll never be a fire in the house. What does it have to do? If you build, if your insulation is fireproof, then you can understand why there might not be a fire. But put this in the house, what does it have to do with a fire? The basis of all superstitions and black magic, and this is the basis of all cultism, is that there is no wisdom behind it. They are totally shallow, with no wisdom whatsoever. No reason or wisdom. He says, how could Torah be classified at that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself said, Hichoch maschem ubinaschem bein hagoyim, ki am chochon venovein himenu, mimenu, that you are the wisest of all of the nations, and therefore I'm giving you the mother of all wisdoms, my Torah. That this is the greatest wisdom that ever came to the world. And that's what Rabbi Yechiel ben Zakkai said. You people, you have your traditions that you'll cut down this tree and you'll burn this and you'll dance and you'll sing and everything will go away. He says, all right, so he wanted to get rid of him. So he says, that's the same thing by us. But the Talmidim said, you can't tell us. He says, certainly not. He says, ours, the source is not, it's not the dead person. It's not the cow. It's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the source of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara brings in Yevamos and Avzayin, the Gemara says, as Migdoshai Tiro'u, you shall fear my Beis HaMikdosh. What does it mean, you shall fear my Beis HaMikdosh? It should mean, bow down. So the Gemara says, no. Not the Beis HaMikdosh you should fear. Elamisha Hezer al HaMikdosh. He who commanded you on the Beis HaMikdosh. What is this? Not Shabbos you fear. Elohu Shehizer al HaShabbos. He who commanded you on Shabbos. We don't worship Shabbos. We don't worship Beis HaMikdosh. We don't worship Tefillin and Mezuzah. We worship He who commanded us on these. And the sources are by Him. And he says, therefore, what happens if you have a Jew that, unfortunately, he never learned, or he knows what to do, but he doesn't have any wisdom in what he's doing? So the Gemara says, it's Amagushi. Just like Amagushi, he says words and he doesn't know what they mean. And he expects results. This man also says things and he doesn't know what they mean. He does practices and doesn't know what they mean, and accepts results. Today, unfortunately, tragically, especially with this resurgent in world religion, has created a resurgent. There's a resurgence in religion also by Klal Yisrael. There's a greater consciousness. But unfortunately, you see many times that they treat it as another cult. You have your cult, and we have ours. They cheated at some type of club, some type of organization. Great emphasis on the shallowness, on the superficial, on the exteriorness. Or emphasis, it's a club to see where which one can outdo the other. These are things, Dvorim Leishwamanu, that in all of my time in yeshiva or with Gedalim, I never heard them before. But I heard them warn of it. I heard them being very concerned with it. The fact is, Rav Gifter used to say over from the son-in-law of the Chofetz Chaim, Reb Mendel Zaks, who visited America many years ago. And he came back, and they asked him, what did you see? So he said, the whole situation of America, as far as he described, this was probably in the 1930s, I would say, 1940s maybe. He said, the whole situation of American Yiddishkeit is not too good. They said, yeah, but what did you see in the yeshivas? He said, I wasn't happy. He said, I saw, this is what he said. He said, I saw a religion, a Torah, not developing from Torah, but developing from other religions. This is what I saw. They saw it yet coming. And one final point. Actually, the main distinction between ours and theirs, probably the main distinction is this. We were in Durban not long ago, and I was giving a shiur there, and the title of the shiur was The Breakdown of the Home and the Marriage, the Family, what the Torah has to say towards this. So someone made a comment to me. He said, well, in good humor, he made a comment, Rabbi, tonight you're going to solve all our problems for us. So my immediate reaction was, no, I'm not going to solve any of your problems for you. If I'm lucky, I might be able to teach you how to solve some of your own. Torah doesn't solve problems for anyone. Cults do. Idolatries do. Torah will solve no one's problems. Man has to solve his problems himself. There is no instant cure in Torah. Last week was the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But states, v'limaratem es b'neichem. The Gemara brings, for how long is a person mechuyev to learn, obligated to learn every day? And how long? Ad yom meischo, until the day of his death. That mitzvah of Talmud Torah, of studying Torah, the Torah says, you must learn every day, in the morning and night, and until the day of your death. And the Rishonim bring, even as you are dying. That doesn't sound like an instant cure to me. That doesn't sound like an easy cure. In the Torah it states in Yisro that Yisro told Moshe, V'hedatem V'zarta esem esach. This is in Yisro Yud Ches You shall teach them the chukim, the statute of the Torah, the hodata lehem es aderech kiruvo, and you shall teach them the way in which they shall walk. Torah is instruction. It will guide a person. It will tell him which way to walk. A person wants to travel from here to Cape Town, so a good map will tell him which way to go. But he'll have to walk himself. He'll have to do the journey himself. Torah does not solve any problems for anyone. It will instruct him on how to resolve his own problems. And that's a lifetime's work. It will teach him the derech yelchuvo. You want to know what is the right way to walk in life? Then Torah will tell you. Torah is called a derech. The halacha is called halicha halacha. Halacha is called halacha, Jewish law, because it's halicha, it tells you which way to walk. But you'll have to do the walking yourself, and it's a life's work. Idolatries, cults, black magics, they'll cure you immediately. You join our club, and you're fixed up for life. Your troubles are over. You have someone sick in the house, we'll give you a charm and it'll be good. You having trouble with fires? We'll help you. Panosa problems? We'll help you. You need a brocha? We'll help you. Everything will be finished. That's not Torah. First of all, Torah is built on the greatest chokhmah, the greatest wisdom of the world, and that's built on nonsense and narishkeit, like the Rambam says. He says that only the tipshim, the fools, will believe in. The amaratzim and tipshim. But secondly, they'll cure all your problems immediately. Torah is not a cure for problems. Torah will instruct you how through your lifetime you can resolve your own problems. That's haderech yilchuvo. This is a basic difference. So this is all in the parsha. We should not think that when it comes to the great prohibitions of idolatry, that this is not relevant. It's always relevant, and in our time it's become even more relevant. And we must guard ourselves very carefully, because like the sages say, she'ein lonu ela teiris Moshe Rabbeinu, we have teiris Moshe Rabbeinu, we have nothing else, we're not interested in anything else. In accordance that was given to Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and given to Moshe and Har Sinai, and given to us through the Mesedis, through the tradition of our fathers. Do not add and do not take away. Do not turn to the right and do not turn to the left. Because if you do, then you are changing the character of the Torah and you're getting into grounds of what is known as Aveda Zora, Aveda Shehi Zoralei, a worship which is alien to Torah which was given to us and to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should be zeichet to see the strengthening of Torah over all of these other types of alien worships and beliefs.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yjj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.